Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Hey y'all, I'm Sam, and I'm excited to be back hosting for GCX 2022. Room blocks are still available at the beautiful Rose and Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida. So book now with our discounted link and stay in the same space as the event so that the fun never has to end. Well, I mean, that really couldn't be more convenient. Go to gcxevent.com/rosen to learn more.
Hey, coffee drinkers, are you tired of the same old morning routine? Well, check out the Roaster's Choice subscription from kingscoastcoffee.com. The Roaster's Choice is an ever-changing, fresh new take on coffee. It's a great way to try some of the most diverse and exotic offerings from around the coffee world. So head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com and shake up the way you wake up.
Tim, how would you feel if the intro went back to me making, like...
Hey, guys, welcome to Star Wars Scotch.
It's episode 60? 59?
It is episode 60. 60. Yeah, I feel like my new goal is to annoy you at the beginning of every show.
Well, I was so hopeful that we were just going to get a normal intro this time, and then you just started with the, hey, Tim, what do you think? And I'm like, nope, this is a cold intro bit.
People
like it. A lot of people have come to learn that I don't like cold intros.
I have learned that your audience loves things that you don't like.
Yes. Yeah, that's them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my viewer.
Nailed it. Speaking of nailing it, what? I am currently drinking King's Coast coffee, and you should be too. I put a little bit of scotch in mine this morning just to get the day going.
Did you?
That's what everyone does, right?
Wow, Kevin. No, good for you.
No, am I not supposed to do that twice a day?
Oh, twice a day. Good for you, Kevin. Doing it twice a day, nailing it twice a day. Good job.
But head over to kingscoastcoffee.com. The holiday bundle is out. The holiday roast is out. And so cocoa is available. So please do not come to us in January and be like, I didn't get cocoa.
No, I'm drinking a Roaster's Choice this morning. It's right.
Don't be a sad panda. Also, shipping is delayed because the United States Postal Service has announced that this will be the worst year for shipping since sometime in the 70s.
The 1970s. So use UPS.
Yeah. Yeah. Order now. Let's dive into it. There's a nice chunk of news this week. Did you watch the what was it? The Disney Plus thing?
Under the Helmet? No,
Under the Helmet of Boba Fett. There was a lot of stuff in there I didn't know.
I didn't either. I really enjoyed it. I almost cried at one point because they were talking about the guy who was the original body actor for Boba.
Jeremy Bullock.
I forgot that he passed away
last year.
In listening to his wife talk about him and just how he interacted with the fans. And at one point they showed Him, Tamora Morrison, and then who played young, and then the gentleman who played young Boba Fett. He follows me on Twitter, and I feel so bad. I can't think of his name right now. I'm totally brain farting. Anyways, the three of them were standing next to each other. I was like, oh, that's three generations of Boba Fett, just like right next to it. It's crazy. It's Tamora Morrison's actually the youngest of the three generations of Boba Fett because he's now just taking that role, which I think
Daniel
is really
Logan.
Neat. Daniel Logan.
Also, I had no idea that Daniel Logan was the voice of Boba in Clone Wars.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. That cool. And then in seeing that, I was like, oh, they actually brought him back for that. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's fun to see folks like Tamir Morrison, Jeremy Bullock, Daniel Logan embrace the role and just kind of dive into everything that comes with being that character.
Yeah.
Because Star Wars is such a beloved IP that, you know, when you take a role in those movies, you know, you're doing something that's probably going to last the rest of your life. You know, fan appearances and whatnot. And I also think, you know, even we see what's his name who played Finn?
FN2187?
John Boyega. You know, he's very angry about the way he was treated and the franchise and the character. Sure. And I don't blame him because the character was completely mistreated.
Yeah.
But you can also see that glimmer when people talk to him about it now that he's like, well, yeah, I would come back and do it again under the right circumstances. So There is something about being a character in the universe, and Jeremy Bullock to me completely exemplified that. The way his, like you said, his wife talked about how he felt about it, mm-hmm. and he had that like kind of responsibility, and that seemed to be how he ended his career too. Was just being Boba Fett.
Yeah, I one of the things that I really like is just how she said just how he embraced the fans, mm-hmm. and I just thought that was really neat. It kind of just gave me a goosebumps when she's like, he never sat down at the table. He always stood up. He always just embraced everyone. And I was like, oh, it's just so cool. Like, it's so neat that someone who literally had overall 6 minutes of screen time.
6 minutes, yeah.
Six minutes
movie.
Of screen time. He had four lines that were redubbed. And some of them were actually added at later on down the line. So he really didn't have much. But it's one of those characters, and it's definitely one of those things with Star Wars as a fan that we attach ourselves to the things we don't know a lot about. And Boba Fett's definitely one of those characters that I just like. I learned so much just watching this little thing. Like, I had no idea his original render, like they did in real life, was just white.
Well, he was supposed to be. Yeah, I didn't realize they were going to make
him a super trooper. And I thought that was really neat. They wanted him to be originally. They wanted Boba Fett to not be Boba Fett, not be a bounty hunter. They wanted him to be a legion of super troopers, which ended up it kind of reminded me of the Death Troopers
right.
in a way.
So that's I was going to bring up the fact that doesn't it sound like Jon Favreau drew from that? And that's how we got the Dark Troopers.
Yeah. Dark Troopers or even like the Death Troopers.
Not that he created Dark Troopers, but the way they were presented as like a legion like that.
Yeah. I think it's really cool to see how much inspiration has been pulled from original renders. Of things like they were even talking about the T cut in the helmet. They're like, we don't even remember how we got that there. But like, and as soon as they said it, they're like, but it's still a beautiful nod to medieval swordplay and magic. And I was like, yeah, because that's what Star Wars does a really good job of. They have the swordplay of the samurai movies. They've got the presence of a Western. And speaking of Westerns, and so like I'm kind of mad at myself for not knowing this, but I didn't realize it until watching this. And I don't think I've ever heard it watching Empires, or I never noticed it. I always thought it was armor clinking, but it was actually spurs.
I also thought it was armor clinking.
I always thought it was armor clinking. And I didn't know that they wanted to, draw into the Western more and make him a desperado and give him the actual spurs that a cowboy would wear. And he's walking with spurs. And then we go to the Boba Fett reveal in Mando. And I'm like, that's why I thought it was Cobb Vanth. Because he also has spurs on his boots. And it made sense. He's a bounty hunter. Like, it all felt right. But now going back and knowing that that's what they did for Boba Fett as well, it all makes sense. That entire, that part with the spurs, and all you see is his boot and a little bit of his cape. Like, oh my gosh, they really gave so much away.
My feeling on it was this when they were showing how the character was made, and Ralph McQuarrie is no longer with us, but he was the artist, and he's kind of the man who brought what George Lucas had in his head out onto paper, mm-hmm. and then they would take that and they would make it into the movie. So for years I'm like, I gotta buy the Star Wars art set. I gotta buy the Star Wars art set, the one Ben just got from that Amy got him.
Oh,
that has all the crazy art.
Yeah.
And I, after the, because I was watching it in the living room this morning, and I turned to Danielle, I was like, I need you to buy me the Star Wars Ralph McQuarrie art set for Christmas, because I won't buy it for myself, and I need it. Like, it's, especially if you're trying to storytell and stuff, which we're doing with stuff at Rare Drop, it's important to draw inspiration, especially from the things you love, and to see, you know, pictures of what conceptually they looked like. It's usually not far off from what you'd expect,
right?
You know, and I think that was the beauty of it, was that they all seemed to be in line. I'm going to send you a picture of his first render of R2 and C-3PO.
Oh my God, I've seen this before.
Yeah, and it's just really cool to see it in action and understand yeah. where it all came from. So watching them put Boba together, basically, you know, him just saying, well, we're under budget, we're over budget. So we can only use one of the armor. Well, what if we turned it into some sort of badass character, you know? And then he's like, well, then I started layering it, and then I started taking railroad colors, which was an interesting color scheme and a way to mention it, and painting over it, and going through the process of creating who Boba Fett would be. And like you said, the T-visor, you know, the T-visor, to me, that was huge, because that didn't just span Boba Fett. That turned into an entire civilization within the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To your point, cool. I think it's crazy that, like you said, like one person inspired lore in a world and more shows. And it's crazy, like, to think that we all have like the possibility of just like creating just like one thing, which then can span into an entire new universe, which is just so cool. Like, to your point, of just like, you know, us trying to storytell and things like that, like, just literally that T-visor is so iconic.
Yeah, and
everybody
important.
Knows that. Like, heck, I mean, you even see it in Tarkov, and everyone calls it the Mando face cover, because it's just like it's a real thing. It actually is. It's real life, like face armor, but it has a T cut in it. So it just you look like a Mandalorian. It's awesome.
You know, and we went over it during Mandalorian, the spiders from the ice episode. That was a beast that Luke was supposed to encounter on Dagobah. So I just sent you the concept art. That's in Ralph McQuarrie's book. But the fact that, like you said, they're still drawing from it, they're still being inspired by it, and still taking from this old, you know, at this point, almost 50-year-old source material to create new stories and to keep the, in my opinion, the soul of Star Wars alive, that's cool. And I know people will disagree with me on that and, you know, go down there, bullshit, Disney ruined everything route. But when you start to dig into it and you start to like listen to people like Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau and, you know, the crew that created the old stuff, I understand not liking the movies, but all this ancillary content that's coming and the stories behind it, pay attention, because it is very, very, very important. And it's coming from really cool different places. Like, they have concept art for what Alderaan looked like. And you know, we've seen it in games and stuff now where it's like snowy mountain peaks, but the concept art that Ralph McQuarrie looks like Epcot. It looks like Epcot, Tim.
What?
Palm trees and these like glass pyramids and things like that. And, you know, how do we know that this concept art, I'm sending it to you now, will not inspire something in a future show, like a different
sure.
planet
oh,
we might
beautiful.
Go to or something?
Oh my God, it does
well,
look
even,
like Epcot.
Even the pyramids, to an extent, they took and they put on Onderon, because Onderon is all like almost Egyptian
uh-huh.
themed. So they took some of this idea, but that's supposed to be Alderaan, which I think is incredible.
That looks wild. It does look like Florida.
It does. It looks like Epcot, you know. Yeah. So I want that book, and I'm probably gonna have 1,000 things to talk about with that book when it comes out. We also, and I didn't really want to get into it on this episode because we have some theory crafting to do and whatnot, but we also were tossing around how that legacy, is it called the legacy of this? No, that's the Star Wars update that we're going to talk about in a few.
I like your ringtone. That was good.
That wasn't a ringtone. That was
video.
We were trading articles back and forth. I think it was 2 or 3 days ago with, you know, this book now fleshed out Snoke's backstory. A few years too late, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But now we're learning more about the Sith from this new Sith book.
I'm so excited.
Sith troopers are thoroughly explained, that, you know, they are ancient parts of this Sith Empire, and, you know, they serve the Sith Lords, updated to be a part of the Empire almost. It's weird. It's called the Book of Sith, Secrets of the Dark Side.
And it just came out.
Oh, wait, no, that's not the right book. Where is this book?
Yeah, you're right. It's called Secrets of the Sith.
Okay, Secrets of the Sith. So, yeah, and it lists out all the stuff. So people are digging through it now and pulling out what is essentially now canon and putting it in there. So I want to touch on that, like, next week.
And we're going to talk about, like, the origin of Snoke and really, like, what he is, which is exciting.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they started piecing together in the comics, but this book kind of fleshes it out even more. And, you know, now people are taking that, what's in that book, and creating theories like Anakin was a clone in Revenge of the Sith he's completely different in Clone Wars, which I kind of understand, but I don't believe. I do think it was a true turn, because if Anakin was a Sith in Revenge of the Sith, it just kind of ruins the character arc. So it is what it is. But there's a couple things going on in the Star Wars universe that we want to talk about today. First one is SWTOR is celebrating its 10th anniversary in December. And with the 10th anniversary, they're re-releasing all of the trailers in 4K Ultra HD.
What?
May not sound like a lot to you, but for me, I was watching this. And now keep in mind, 10 years ago, I had just gotten married. I was living in an apartment in Queens. Mm-hmm. I remember I put Log Me In on my phone to log myself into SWTOR on my home computer while I was still at work, because the queues were like 6 hours long.
Uh-huh.
And these trailers, there's four of them. I just sent you one, Tim, with the remaster. So on your new monitor, it should look like gold. These trailers are still to this day, I think the only other game that has made trailers as good as this is Diablo, or cutscenes and cinematics is Diablo. That's it. These are some of the best trailers ever. And on top of that, everyone at the time, I remember going, why isn't this like a movie or an animated series? Why isn't this a movie or an animated series?
Yeah.
So now you can enjoy them in 4K Ultra HD. They haven't released all of them yet, but I believe three of them are out. SW, The Old Republic on YouTube. And go watch them. They're so much fun. I know some people, they're not canon. Who gives a shit? They're so much fun. It's some of the best like lightsaber fighting you'll ever see in anything. And it's just fun. And after that, you're probably going to be like, well, now I want to play the game. If you do, and you happen to be on the Satil Sean server, hit me up, because I re-upped and I'm playing through Christmas.
Really, Kevin?
Yeah, what the hell? It's fun. So, I started an evil Jedi Shadow yesterday. So he's all dark side and brooding and angry. So I'm just gonna, you know, all the decisions that a teenage boy would make are the ones that I'll make. But yeah, the update that's coming out for it too is called The Legacy of the Sith. So they're really gonna dig into Darth Malgus and his I don't want to say backstory, but there's a lot to be said about Darth Malgus. If you follow the story, obviously, you know, they brought him back from the dead, and then now we're trying to figure out, does he actually serve the Empire? Is he serving his own interests again? And Legacy of the Sith will reveal that. Apparently, we're going to a new planet that has never been shown in Star Wars ever on anything. And it has like really, really big roots to non-canon legacy Legends dark side stuff.
It's still mind-blowing that they are pumping out this content.
It's a huge update. They're redoing the UI. They're redoing the character creation. This is a very, very big update for them. So, and the creative director, he did a YouTube video where he told the backstory, and then he did an interview, and he was like, we have no plans to end the game anytime soon. EA is happy with it.
Wow.
I remember seeing earnings reports from a few years ago, and the game is still making them like millions and millions of dollars every year in profit. So, and I attribute a lot of it to exactly what I'm feeling. December is always a time where you want to jump back into Star Wars. I think a lot of people marathon for the holidays. I know I do that with Lord of the Rings, but a lot of people marathon. And then there's always new Star Wars content coming out in December, whether it's television or whatever.
Sure.
So I think it gets people that played the game like, oh man, I should play SWTOR again, back into it. So I feel like they have that surge every year. And some people probably stick around and stick, you know? So, but yeah. Legacy of the Sith comes out next month, but they're already prepping for it. Major changes to the game. I will say this, if you are an MMO player and you have left the game and came back maybe and you didn't like the renown system kind of worked like the champion levels in ESO, where you would level beyond leveling. They're dropping that, and they're going back to linear paths to getting gear through raiding and dungeons and whatnot. So you will have to do group content to gear yourself out. But you know what gear you're going for when you go do the group content. So and the system is very friendly to getting people geared to a certain level. And then there's a plateau that you have to do, you know, raiding and stuff to get to the next level. So they're trying to woo some of those old MMO fans because of what happened with New World, because WoW is on the fritz right now.
I guess that makes sense.
Yep. So it's been fun. I'm enjoying it. It's fun to go back in that universe. I love it. I just did the Flashpoint, where you go through the ruins. So remember when in KOTOR you start out in the Jedi Temple on Dantooine?
Yes.
So you go through the ruins of that temple because it's like a couple hundred years later.
Oh, that's dope.
You learn about all this crazy shit that happened on Dantooine and, you know, how the Jedi fell there. And it's pretty new. And you can do it. If you do it as Empire, you see one side of the story. If you do it as Republic, you see a different side of the story, which is actually, I've always loved that about the game, is you do the same activity, but you get two stories doing it one way or another.
Yeah.
Because it's different bosses and stuff like that. And then the way they explain it away is that you're there at two different times.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes the Republic might be there first, and then what you do as Empire happens after, or vice versa. So they can explain it away like, oh, you were in the same place, same time, or different time, but the same place and different bosses and enemies. So
That's so much. So I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to be able to follow along with any, like, I'm not going to be able to play this. So
yeah,
I want to still be involved. So we're going to have like a old Republic, like Kevin's old Republic minute or something.
Okay.
Cause like, I want to know what's going on, but I'm not going to have time to play it. Like, cause it's not going to stream well for me.
No.
But I still want to know what's going on.
Yeah, what I'll do is once I get through the story, because the story will probably only be like 6, 7, 8 hours or something, I'll have more information for you there. I doubt I'm going to get the raid. I don't really have people to play with besides Rob and Mike play it with me, but that's it. So, you know, if there's like a bunch of other people out there that are like, yeah, I'll do that, just tweet at me, KevinXVision, and, you know, we'll make a guild or something and have some fun with it. But I also don't play like 60 hours a week. If I get 10, 12 in a week, that's a lot. So don't expect me to be like guild leader and raid leader and whatnot. But if one of you wants to, I will gladly come along for that ride. So,
well, I'm excited to hear Kevin's old Republic story time.
See, and there's a bunch of stuff like you would love Oricon. Oricon is the home planet of, they call them the Dreadmasters. And the Dreadmasters are like these Sith, and the Sith only call on them when they need them, because their whole thing is they induce fear through the Force.
Ooh.
So they make you see things that aren't there. Ooh. And, you know, like spiders crawling all over you, or, you know, and they completely manipulate and they destroy people's minds to, you know, where they're like a shell of their former selves. So,
yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that was one of the updates. That was a fun one. That's and there's a raid I've never done for the Dreadmasters where you kill them all. So
that's so cool.
Yeah. So, and if you're, and here's how it works. If you're Republic, you're trying to stop them. If you're Empire, you're trying to, because they're in a prison at one point, trying to rescue them. And then after you rescue them, you realize, or the Dark Council realizes, you probably shouldn't have let them loose.
Oh, shit.
So then you have to go back and do that. Yeah, you would love. You know, you start off on Korriban if you pick a Sith force using class. So they teach you that you go into all the old tombs that you went in KOTOR, and, you know, you got to do missions in there, and you commune with ancient Sith and blah, 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 blah. You see how the Sith civilization has moved on from that point.
Uh-huh.
And then you go to Drummond Kos, and Drummond Kos is like the seat of the Empire. And that's where the Dark Temple is, where the Emperor sits, although he's not there. And you got to find out why. But it's like a whole city. It's like Coruscant, but for the Empire. And it's like dark. It's always raining. And the reason they're there is because it's a font in the dark side, you know, but there's like the Mandalorian enclave, because at this time the Mandalorians are allied with the Empire. And there's the, you know, it's just cool. It's just cool. Oh, Imperial Intelligence, because you can play an agent too.
Uh-huh.
So you have Imperial Intelligence, essentially what the precursor was, the ISB
agent. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, which is, in my opinion, the second best storyline in the game. And then there's like a Sith like area. So you can do that. And then you would love it. The planet is super dark, super evil. And it's like, it's basically dark Coruscant. Because if you're Republic, you go to Coruscant. That's where your home base is, and the Jedi Temple is there, and the Senate building, and whatnot. The Jedi Temple actually is destroyed. It's a flashpoint in the game because in the precursor in one of the trailers, it shows Malgus destroying the temple. He's actually... So there's like this alliance, and they're trying to make nice with each other, and Malgus destroys the temple to force the Republic to sign the treaty so the Empire won't act anymore and destroy more stuff. It's very interesting. I have the book if you want to read it. It's really good. Anyway, off of that. But yeah, SWTOR, I could talk about that all day. The biggest news this week, and this caught me for a loop. So we heard 3 weeks ago that Rogue Squadron was delayed, that Patty Jenkins' Rogue Squadron movie was delayed. And I was
news.
That sucks. I was annoyed. And then this week, earlier this week, we learned that supposedly, and I'm saying supposedly because nothing's been confirmed, but we're talking about it because almost every news outlet has picked up this story.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's credible enough to go forward and talk about the rumor. We learned that the Old Republic is being pushed to the front of the line right now for movies and TV, and the High Republic is being pushed right behind it in priority.
It's so good.
Because I have a feeling they feel like, okay, we've topped off what we can do in the Skywalker era. We now need to tell these other stories because that's what the fan base wants. They want the universe, but they want characters we've never met before. And we've talked about this ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that we're hearing is specifically that Kathleen Kennedy's projects are frozen right now is the word that a few of them use. So I think Rogue Squadron will be made, but I don't think we'll see it for a few years. And I have a feeling we're going to see a High Republic movie by 2024, probably. You know, maybe it's already in production and, you know, 2023 December. I don't want to get my hopes up. So I'm saying 2024 would be my guess of when we will see a High Republic movie. And I feel like it's going to be Revan's story. I feel like they'd be remiss not to tell that story and then flesh everything out from there.
Do you think we'll have tie-ins with the game, or do you think that it's going to be a new story altogether?
I have a feeling that the game will tell the story it told, but in Disney canon.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like the movies will kind of tell the before, because you just get plopped in. You don't even know you're Revan at first. I have a feeling the movies will tell the before, which was Revan and Malak, falling to the dark side, going and fighting in the war they weren't supposed to, and then going to the outer edges of space, finding the Starforge and coming back. The outer edges of space is the interesting part, because again, I will say it, and I truly believe this. This is a chance for them to link it back to the current universe and have Exegol be where the Starforge was.
Yeah.
And have them build the Sith Temple on Exegol, you know, and leave the Fanatics, what are they called, the Sith Eternals?
Yeah,
the
Sith Eternals.
Leave the Fanatics there, and then they're there for thousands of years. There's your story. That's how they got there, you know. And then you can have content where Palpatine is, like, finding Revan's, like, you know, holocrons to go search for Exegol.
Yeah.
And find it, you know. Or maybe his what was his master's name? Darth
Plagueis?
Maybe Plagueis is the one that found it and told him about it, you know? Who knows? There's a thousand places to go. The only thing I don't like that recently came out about the Sith was in that book, was that the way they are describing the rule of two now, they're not describing it as, you know, that the power and greed and whatnot took over them. They're describing it as almost
a dyad.
Yeah, and I kind of hate that. I think that's stupid. That apparently, like, Vader and Palpatine were trying to complete a Force dyad. I don't know. I don't like that. I like the old school. You know, the Sith have out. They can't coexist with each other, so they just need a leader.
Yeah. I don't know. This whole leaning into the dyad, I'm sure there's a reason why they're doing it though. There's got to, like, they're really playing this up.
Yeah. What do you do with Bane then?
I don't know.
Because he's canon.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, but his whole story is based around the fact he was like, I'm sick of this shit. We're doing this instead.
Yeah. And that was the whole point of the rule too, is to keep them under control.
under control and hidden, because at that point he knew they needed to like be in the shadows and
they needed to chill out
because they didn't have an empire anymore. I was also struggling with the fact that like there was an empire, and then I'm like, but wait, Palpatine says the first galactic empire, and then I realized the differentiation is the combination of the Republic and the Sith became the Galactic Empire, because it was always the Galactic Republic.
Yeah.
And the old empire is the Sith Empire specifically.
Oh.
Because it was ruled by a dark council
that
of
makes
Sith
sense. Okay.
Or and an emperor. So it was kind of like the combination of the two. I just came to that realization this week. I'm interested to see where which story they're going to tell. Do you think, Tim, that this is a full rollout, though, that this is like movie and here's your TV show and here's your new comic books and here's your new novels? Is it like that?
I don't think they're going to throw it all at us at once, because look how they've been handling everything else.
Will they roadmap it, though? They'll be like, over the next three years.
Will they roadmap it? Yes, I think so. I think it makes the fandom a lot happier when we know what we're going to get.
Right.
So like, I think it would be silly for them not to, because we've been able to do that with the High Republic and it's been working out really, 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 really well.
I'm actually stressing that I have to, because I'm all caught up on the books, but now I have to go fill in the blanks for the comics, because part two of the High Republic is like 2 months away.
Yeah.
So like we got to go full blast in the comics and get all caught up there. So we're ready.
Boy.
I mean, they don't take long to read.
Yeah,
it's just sitting down.
Yeah,
and
sitting down and finding the time. That's crazy. It's just crazy that it's all coming together.
Yeah, it's almost like, and I hate comparing it to Marvel because people, you know, get a little uppity, but it's almost like, you remember early Marvel, we're like, what the hell are they doing with
this?
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh,
I
this makes
Marvel.
A lot of sense.
Oh my gosh, they're so great.
Yeah, I feel like they're laying groundwork, you know, and pulling things in and telling stories, but making sure they drop references to other things.
Yeah.
So you know that, like, this is all the same place. This is all the same universe. I am curious if they're ever going to play with alternate universe, though. I'm really interested if that's going to be a thing.
With the Star Wars?
Yeah, because as I'm reading Ronin, I'm almost done with it. You know, it's a completely different universe. For instance, the Jedi are part of the Empire because the Empire in that is reflective of, you know, Imperial leadership in feudal Japan.
Right.
So when they go aboard a Jedi dreadnought, which is the weirdest thing to say, they have walkers, and the walkers, Tim, are all like, they're shaped like boars and I'm trying to think what else they said, like ancient Japanese symbols, animal symbols. So they're very, very, very much on the feudal Japan thing, but it's a completely alternate universe. Like they say the Outer Rim, but they're talking about planets. Like the planet they're on right now is called Raizu, and
you know
the Sith you saw in the Visions cartoon, her name's Koru. Like everything's very, very, very Japanese.
Yeah.
So
I'm
curious,
that.
Like, do you flesh out a whole other alternate universe that's Star Wars, but this?
Yeah. I think they could do like what ifs and stuff. I think that would be okay.
I do too. I think they'll always have a canon storyline. You know, and one of the things I was thinking about too with a canon storyline versus Visions, you know, Visions, you can't go to the park and start asking them about the stuff because the employees are essentially RPing.
Yeah.
And they won't know what you're talking about. But now if you go there, and I guarantee if you went now, they wouldn't say anything to you. But if you go there after this Old Republic kicks off and you're like, hey, have you heard of Darth Revan? They might like look around and be like, you're not supposed to utter that name or something like
that.
You know,
so cool though.
Yeah, but the employee's knowledge base is going to have to grow, like especially too with Galactic Starfighter or not Starfighter, Galactic Cruiser, which I tried to call again and it was on hold for 5 hours. And
really,
no one picked up.
You got me so excited, and here we are.
I'm trying. I have a life, Tim. I can't sit on the phone all day.
Hey, if there's anyone in chat that knows a guy, hit us up.
I don't think Disney's in the knows a guy phase of this yet.
No. There's definitely a guy who knows a guy. So if you know a guy, let us know. We're still trying to get on.
Hey, if you're listening to this and you're Bob Chapek's son, if you could hit us up, that'd be great. Thanks. That's about as far as I think that will go. Or Dave, because you know Dave listens to the show. So
of
Dave,
course.
If you could hook it up, that'd be great.
He loves us.
Thanks, little, Dave.
Buddy Dave.
Oh, man, I can't wait to be like, Dave, this is Tim, the co-host on, and he goes, Star Wars and Scotch, and points at Tim, and Tim's like, oh, shit. He just pukes all over Dave's shoes. I'm so sorry.
So sorry. And this is Mark Hamill. Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't really get starstruck, but Mark Hamill would be.
I'd cry. I'd cry, puke, and say it'd be terrible. Absolutely terrible.
We got to do our annual tweets at Mark to come to GCX because we do it every year. Hey, Mark, you want to be on the Star Wars panel? Before, he has liked every single one because people start mentioning, because we'll tweet it. And then someone will be like, yeah, it's a great event. And, you know, they support St. Jude. And then he starts liking it because, you know, he's a very charitable, good person. Yeah. So
1 year. We'll get them. We'll get them.
So with this, Old Republic.
Yes.
And we said we agree there'll be a roadmap. Because our original thing was like maybe the video game universe is going to be where Old Republic lives.
It felt right to say that.
It's not the case anymore. No. So with that being said, I'm going to go back to, is it a full fleshed out new novels, new TV shows, comics, you know, and movies over the course of X years?
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll let the game do its thing. And then they'll start rolling things out, because I think the game is really big. It's really important. That's the hook. That's the carrot. That's what brings them in. And then you get them to bite down on, and they're like, oh, I love the Old Republic. And then you're like, oh, you love it, huh? Brah, here you go. So I think what's going to happen is we're going to get the celebration next year, and it's going to be, hey, here's Knights of the Old Republic preview. Here's the launch date. And then here's everything else we're going to be doing.
I wonder if, you know, because SWTOR does well for them. I wonder if they would do SWTOR 2, but make it more like ESO. So it would be console friendly.
No, I think what we're going to see when it comes to combat and everything else is it's going to be, I had the game in my head and I totally lost it.
It's definitely not going to. Well, I have a feeling they'll leave an option to do turn based.
What was the remastered game that I just played that was really fun?
Final Fantasy?
No, well, kind of like Final Fantasy in a way. I think it's a fair way to put it. There's another game that I just played. And I was like, this is how KOTAR is going to be. And I'm
the Bridge of Spirits game.
No. It's a remaster. And I totally forgot. But anyways, yeah.
Oh, Alan Wake.
Nope. there's a game, and I'm totally forgetting it. But anyways,
this just proves I watched Tim. By the way,
he does. And I just like there. I stream too much. But Final Fantasy VII, I think, is a great way to showcase. It's like, hey, like this is a game that you can take that was turn based, and you can give them the ability to just free fight and go for it. But if they want to still do the turn style, you can flip that on and go that way.
Yeah, that's what I think they're going to do, because I think...
Oh, I figured out. What? It was Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy, it wasn't a remake. Guardians of the Galaxy, the way that they treat the combat where it's RPG light in a way, where there's dialogue and the dialogue dictates the outcome, but it's not a true outcome because it was still going to happen regardless, but it makes you think that you had a play in it.
Yes.
That was, I was like, oh my gosh, this is how the dialogue's going to happen. And then the combat was really good because... you're fighting and you're leveling up your person, but you're also leveling up all the other members of Guardians of the Galaxy. And then you're controlling them to a certain extent. You're telling them to use certain powers like to like isolate or like snare or like attack, heal. And I was like, oh, man, this is exactly how I remember Knights of the Republic feeling. But it was turn based. But now take the turn based out of it and let them just you get put into an arena to fight, which is how every combat scenario happened in Knights of the Republic, is you'd walk into a room, the room would be combat, and then you fight it out, and then you'd progress. And that's exactly how Guardians of the Galaxy plays.
You'd freeze and put your Q in the old one, and then you would, you know, would execute the move. You could do in real time, but you had the option to pause it, which I believe in Final Fantasy, you had the option to pause the fight, too.
You can. But I think with this is that I still hold true to saying that for Knights of the Old Republic, they have to go to the ability of allowing the player to feel the lightsaber and control it. Because when you do that in like Jedi Fallen Order, you feel like you're there. You feel like a Jedi. You feel powerful. You have the lightsaber. And if they take that away from the player, if you aren't able to use your lightsaber, it's not going to feel like a Star Wars game now. Now it's just going to feel like a generic RPG. And so I really, really hope they allow us to do combat the way that it is in Jedi Fallen Order, with the Guardians of the Galaxy twist of being able to control your companions, and it's just going to be this nice free flowing combat.
I feel like they'll let us do both. I do. Yeah. You know, this is a big deal. This game is a big deal, and a lot of money is being poured into it. And, you know, they're going to want to sell a bajillion copies like they did with Fallen Order. But Fallen Order got a rousing reception. Noah's mad. By the way, with Fallen Order, folks, if you're a modder, they just are allowing people to mod Fallen Order now.
What? That's awesome.
So there'll be some cool shit coming out very soon. And I would say by next year of people that are now, because they took the anti-cheat out. So now you can mod Fallen Order, which will lead to some really, really cool fan.
What? That's so awesome. I love when developers respawn.
I love when developers lean into that, because after your game has run its course, the lifeblood of a game is modding. Look at Skyrim. Everybody loves modded Skyrim now. And even Todd Howard said that off the bat, Fallout 5 will have full modding capabilities. So same thing here. Like, thank you for letting us do it. They did it with Battlefront, and now they're doing it with this, and it's going to lead to some really, really, like, people are going to be able to be like, oh, well, now you can play this game as Ahsoka, you know, and you can, you know, go to this planet that I designed and play as Ahsoka doing, I don't know, something. It's just cool.
There was a trailer that was made, like a short that was made in Battlefront. And it was Vader on Naboo visiting Padme's.
Oh, I saw that.
Visiting Padme's grave. And it was all in game. And I sent it to Randy's last name. Because I'm trying to think of his last name. But Randy, who's the head of video, like making all the trailers and stuff for DICE. And so he made the trailer. Him and his team made the trailers for Battlefront. And I sent it to him. I was like, dude, look at this. And he was just like, oh my God. And he's like goosebumps. And it's just like, it's so crazy to see fans really Evans? Just live out their passions through all these different types of mediums.
Randy Evans.
Evans. There you go. Thank you.
I love that stuff. And giving people that freedom to be creative.
So chat
stuff.
Our Twitter, we usually ask you guys to send us something on Twitter. So for this week, I'd love for you guys to tweet at Star Wars and Scotch, because we now have our own Twitter handle. So tweet at us your favorite Star Wars video or picture. Like, what is your favorite fan-made thing that you can remember? So, like, for me, the last thing that I just saw that was fan-made was the Star Wars Battlefront video of Vader going to Naboo. What's something that you've seen lately that you just absolutely love? Send it to us. Tweet us at Star Wars and Scotch, right, Kevin? Is that our Twitter handle?
Star Wars Scotch is
Star
the
at Star Wars Scotch. And yes, let
Star
us know.
Wars Scotch. Yep. That is where all the releases will be coming through, and anything we do outside of the show will be on there. But yeah, at Star Wars Scotch, brand new handle, and it's fun. Well, that is there anything else you want to cover before we get out of here?
I think that's it as far as Star Wars stuff. I mean, like, definitely go check out Under the Helmet. Very, very good. It definitely makes me feel better about Boba Fett, I guess, just yes, because same. I'm learning a lot more. But there's still a lot of things left to find out about our not Mandalorian friend. Like, how the did he get out of the Sarlacc pit? Please tell us.
I think they hinted that they are going to tell you because. Ming-Na Wen said something in there, and I was like, oh, maybe.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, it's like, we don't know much after he went into the Sarlacc pit. And I'm like, oh, really? Yeah, okay.
Did you finish Lorna D yet?
No, I'm like halfway through it.
All right, cool. I just wanted to make
sure.
Talk.
You want to talk about it? You want to talk about it? Like,
not today. We can talk about it next week.
But yeah, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, when you're done, I would love to talk about Lorna D, and I'll do a little thing on Ronin because I only have 2 hours left. Okay. And then I'm going to finish Aftermath before Christmas.
Sick.
And then you know what it's on to, Tim?
What?
Thrawn.
Ooh, yes. I can't wait to talk about Thrawn.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 60 of Star Wars and Scotch. We appreciate you as always. Tim is playing Battlefield. FB.gg/darkness429. I'm playing Battlefield 2, but I don't stream. So, I mean, if you want to play, you can come find me. It's at KevinXVision on Twitter. But, I'll be playing weekend, Battlefield Kevin. 2. I'm gonna play this weekend.
Oh, cool. 100%. We'll make a server, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, well, sick. Pew pew. It'll be sick. Sick. Dope. I'm gonna see if I can hop on while you're streaming because Hunter has his belt test tomorrow.
Oh, sick!
And it's his last Tiger belt before he goes to Solid belts. So
cute.
Yeah, he's a big boy. But thank you so much for checking it out. Like Tim said, at Star Wars Scotch is the new Twitter handle. We'll be rolling out more content there. We have our own YouTube as well, Star Wars and Scotch on YouTube. But you all have a good one. We will talk to you next week for episode 61. We appreciate you. And as always, may the Force be with you.
And also with you, Kevin.
And an extra force for you.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.